Welcome to the Estate Planning Experts Podcast. Created by best-selling author and nationally recognized estate planning attorney, Shane Smith. On each episode, we bring together experts in various aspects of estate planning to help you protect your family, your assets, and your peace of mind. To get your free copy of Mr. Smith's Consumer Awareness Guide, How to Avoid the 7 Deadly Sins of Estate Planning, or if you are in Atlanta and are interested in your free Estate Planning for Life consultation, simply register at www.theestateattorneyatlanta.com.
Today I have a very special guest with me. I have the honor of interviewing Carrie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I'd like to take you back in time a little bit and ask you how you got started.
My parents were public school teachers, and I wanted to do something other than that. So I took an accounting class and loved it, and then I got into estate planning just because I was fascinated at, you know, how things worked and like how people decided where they wanted their assets to go and how they decided who to put in their will and who not to include in their will. It was just fascinating.
I would agree, but we are biased. How did you get to this particular accounting firm that you're at now? Is this where you started right away, or have you had a sort of transition along the way?
This is where I started fresh out of school. I went to the University of Georgia, and back then it was the Big Eight firms. And basically, if you did not go Big Eight, they kind of thought of you as, you know, you were kind of a loser. But I just met, you know, Jim Frazier and David Dieter and interviewed with them and just really liked, it just felt like that was the perfect place for me. And I started in 1988, and I've been there 27 years.
Wow, good for you. I know that if we got a bunch of different estate planning experts in a room, lawyers, financial planners, accountants, senior care folks, they might all have their own different opinions and different definitions. How do you define estate planning?
I define it as helping the client through the process of thinking about what the future holds once they're gone, how they want their assets distributed in the most tax-efficient way, and what's best for their family and their heirs.
And what do you like most about estate planning?
Just working with the families and feeling like you're helping them through a difficult time. My client base and my work is very relationship focused. And so just knowing that I'm working with someone through a difficult process and helping them and helping their family is what I like best about it.
What are some of the most common mistakes you see clients making when planning their estate?
Well, the first and worst mistake you can make is to not have a will. I mean, basically, this, if you're in the state of Georgia or any other state, the state has a will for you. It's just not a very good one, and it's not the one you want to use. So that's probably the worst mistake that someone can make. The next one is not updating your will if you have one, because the estate law changes so much that if you did one 10 years ago, it may have the opposite effect of what you intended at the time because of the changes in the exemptions and different things in the law. So not keeping it current, not having one, not keeping it current, and then not taking into account changes in your family. I mean, people get divorced, people, you know, adopt children, children get married, children get divorced. If you don't keep it updated and account for those changes in your family, you can really end up in a bad place.
Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%. Now, you are, as an accountant, obviously on the tax side. So I would normally ask you how you solve those problems. Obviously, the not having a will in a problem would get solved by an attorney. How do you help folks keep abreast of the changing financial implications, like when the tax law changes?
You are absolutely correct. I'm not an attorney. I do not draft documents. But
you don't play one on TV?
No, I do not. I did not stay at a Holiday Inn. But we see clients a lot more often than the attorney does. You know, I have clients that I see several times throughout the year. I do their tax return. I work with them. They call me when they have questions. And a lot of times, you know, when we're working with people, the first thing I ask in a new client is, do you have a will? And when they tell me no, I, you know, give them the speech about, well, the state of Georgia does, and encourage them to do so. And then a lot of times clients will call and say, this is what I'm thinking. This is what the document says. Is this, you know, am I getting what I want? And then how does it affect me tax-wise? Estate planning involves a lot of trust and different type entities, and they want to know how it's going to affect their taxes. And so we work through that. You know, how's it going to affect your taxes? Who pays the tax on this income? Are you allowed to have access to the income? You know, can I pay the bills from this account? You know, just all of those general questions that they want to know. And just because we see them more often and they feel more comfortable, you know, calling us because we have that ongoing relationship, we can work through a lot of those problems.
That makes total sense. What estate planning technique do you use that you wish more clients knew about?
I love trust. Trust can accomplish so much, and it can continue once you're gone. I teach a class sometimes at Georgia Tech, and we talk about, you know, estate planning and trust planning and different things like that. And one thing that always appeals to clients is the being able to maintain some control. And when you tell them that a trust allows them to control how things are done even after they're gone, it's very appealing to them. And so we can work through the mechanics.
For the folks who are, maybe they're just starting out the estate planning process, can you give us a layperson's explanation or an explanation a layperson could understand of what a trust is and why they might want to consider one without obviously giving any legal advice?
Sure. A trust is a legal entity. It's a tax pay. It can be a tax paying entity, but it's a living, breathing entity. I mean, it can hold assets. It can do transactions. It accumulates income. It can distribute money. It can help accomplish certain behaviors. And it also can give some protection. So if you've got a child who is in a rocky marriage and you leave their inheritance in a trust, that's not going to be part of their marital estate. That would be subject to property division at a divorce. If you have a child who has a substance abuse problem, the trust can't control how much money they get and they can't squander their inheritance. If you are leaving everything to your spouse, it can help protect it from a second marriage after you're gone and give the ultimate, the ultimate asset distribution to your children, even though it provides for your spouse during their lifetime. There's just a lot you can accomplish.
Absolutely. We agree with that 100%. We want to, obviously you have privacy and confidentiality policies to protect the identities of your clients. Without revealing any names, could you tell me about your most recent client, and we'll just call them Mr. and Mrs. Jones, and you can tell us hypothetically a little bit about what their situation was and what they came to you for?
Sure. We just finished working on a big estate where the person was very philanthropic, and it was a very complex estate, but he had utilized trust, and he is providing for his wife for her lifetime and then accomplishing his charitable goals at the same time because he had set up trust that will ultimately benefit those charitable organizations. And so that's just a good example of how, you know, doing the estate planning and working through those issues can help accomplish all of those goals because he not only is providing for his wife for her lifetime, he's providing for his children and his grandchildren and then the ultimate is the charitable beneficiaries that he wanted to sponsor.
And how were you able to help them with that?
Well, we discussed different vehicles for doing that. And then one of the things that he had was a very large retirement plan. And by using that and leaving that to the charity, we were able to shift a lot of his wealth to that charity as well. Another thing that we're seeing a lot of lately are special needs trust and special needs planning for estate planning. The autism seems to be quite an epidemic, and so we're doing a lot of estate planning that's not tax motivated, but it's to make sure that if you have a disabled child, that they're going to be taken care of for the rest of their life as well as you are planning your estate, even though estate tax may not be a consideration. And that's a very rewarding part of that estate planning, is being able to help those families that have that, those special needs children that we can do some things with and make sure their will is in place and that they're taken care of.
Absolutely. That is definitely a growing trend. Who is an ideal client for you?
An ideal client for me is a family that, has some wealth and has some, planning potential, I guess you would say, or a client that doesn't have any wills in place that we can really start from scratch. I like having the clients that are open to the different ideas and not afraid of, maybe utilizing a trust or maybe thinking about, looking forward to the future. I have some clients that never want to talk about their estate because they just don't want to face their mortality. But,
right.
An ideal client is going to be willing to talk about that, willing to share, these are the issues with my children that I'm concerned about. This is what I want to accomplish, and be very open to the planning process.
What is an ideal first step for that potential client to take with you?
Well, we would set up a meeting, and we would talk very candidly about, what they have, what their estate entails, what the family dynamic is, and then, like I said, what their goals are. Do they want to provide for their spouse and don't care if anything's left for the children? Do they want to, ultimately benefit a charitable beneficiary? Are there outside things that are going to affect? Do they have concerns about their children with either, like I said, substance abuse, special needs, a bad marriage? Just all of that. It's been quite fascinating. There have been times when I get really surprised by clients because, They're very willing to share.
Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. So for if they wanted to take that first step with you, what is the best way for them to get a hold of you? Do you want them to call Terry Lawson? Do you want them to email you? Do you want them to go to a website? Where should we send them?
The Fraser & Dieter website has me listed and has all my contact information. But yeah, either email or phone works perfectly. And I'm always willing to meet them face-to-face. I'm happy to come to them. They can come to my office. We can do it over the phone, however works best for them. And if they have an attorney, we can work together. If they don't have an attorney, I have worked with tons of them around town and could make, some recommendations. But we want it to be a team approach because I don't want to be telling them one thing and the attorney telling them something differently. We want to work together to the best benefit of the client.
Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%. This has been an interview with Terry Lawson, who is the co-chair of the tax department at Fraser & Dieter. Fraser & Dieter is one of the top 10 largest CPA firms in Atlanta and one of the only two top 100 CPA firms headquartered here in Georgia. Terry, we greatly appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for agreeing to be interviewed.
Thanks so much for having me.